Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm really excited because we have a very special guest on our show today. Before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, iHeartRadio, Speaker, and YouTube, for sponsoring this show today. I'd like to say thank you and thank you for everything that you do. And today, I'm really excited because we have Brooke King on the show today, and she is an amazing woman who has an amazing story to share. She is journeying through, she's a breast cancer survivor, and she's journeying through her path right now. And she just has an amazing story and so much hope and inspiration to share with you. And I'm really excited to have you on the show today, Brooke. Can you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Yes, thank you, Stacy. Super excited to be here. So my name's Brooke. I am really a lifelong adventurer. About 3 years ago, I decided, and really just as a hobby, to start tackling my bucket list, which has a wide variety of silly, fun, thrill-seeking experiences, where like one of them ended up taking me to Africa, where I boarded and hitchhiked onto the world's deadliest train. So I'd been doing all these things. I lived in a school bus, did the whole van life thing while everyone was working remotely, and really just pursuing this as a hobby, trying to build really confidence in myself to say, okay, maybe some of my adventures are a little bit goofy and off the beaten path. So I don't want to wait for others to do this. I'm just going to go tackle them myself. And then about 7 or 8 months ago, I was diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer. At the age of 29, which was extremely shocking. And the only thing that I could do was what I knew best, was to just continue being in motion as much as I possibly could, go through the treatments, educate myself on how to get through this cancer, what treatments were the best. And now I'm on the other side of all of the different treatments I've had, and I'm back to the adventuring that I wanted to do, and really saying yes to life and saying, hey, like, there's only so much left to live. I want to tackle whatever I can. And so I'm doing this thing called the Road to Remission, which, while I am working towards getting to remission because I still have cancer, I can't say that I'm cancer free for some time now. And while I'm on this journey, I really wanted to make sure that I could say that I didn't just survive, but I'm thriving through my treatment. And that's why I signed up for this Road to Remission, where I'm essentially rowing from Barcelona to Ibiza. It's about 3 days of this sport called ocean rowing, where you're actually physically manually rowing. Three other women are on my team together, so four of us will be rowing for 72 hours straight, very little sleep in between. And it happens to be a cancer foundation, so I am really excited to add that to my journey. And that's just a little bit about me.
How did you find out about this Rowan expedition?
Yeah, so I had already had this big bucket list where I was adding, it's probably like 100 adventures long, maybe more than that. And I had heard about the sport of ocean rowing. It's so incredibly cool. A lot of people actually do it from across the entire Atlantic, from Europe to America, and it takes about 40 days. So I was like, this is badass. I would love to participate, but 40 days is a little crazy. I want to see if there's something that's more entry level that I can test it. So I'd heard about this row called the Noman Campaign, and I'd been on the wait list for like 3 years, just trying to get into this adventure. I love doing especially like athletic challenges that really push my body to remind me that I can do these things that make me feel strong. And but they just didn't have any spaces for me. And then I went through all my cancer treatment, and I knew that the Noman Campaign, the shorter one, in Spain from Barcelona to Ibiza, was specifically a cancer foundation. So they focus on HPV related cancer funds. And I was like, wow, like I've always wanted to do this. Now there's so much more like depth and meaning to me participating and having another opportunity to meet people who also might be cancer survivors, people that are really affected by cancer just generally in their lives or care about that process. And so it was just serendipitous. It was so beautiful. I reached out as I was starting to recover from my treatments about like 3 or 4 months ago. The race director, who I had been speaking to for months or years at this point, and he happened to have a spot for me, and it was just so perfect. So I'm really, really excited about doing this row this year.
I love this. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Now, tell us a little about your story. Like you have an amazing story. Like, for there's so many millions of people who suffer from breast cancer, it's suffer from pancreatic cancer, they suffer from thyroid cancer. We can go, the list goes on and on and on and on. There's so many different types of cancers. But for you, when you were first diagnosed, what was your reaction when the doctor told you that you had cancer?
I think my reaction actually started before I had cancer, which was when I was told that I had a lump that I needed to investigate. I went to a standard checkup at my OBGYN, and as they do, they feel your neck, and they felt a small lump kind of right where your collarbone starts, like right above your collarbone, which is where your thyroid is. And it was very casual, which I'm sure a lot of people or women specifically who've been to these appointments are familiar with. They're like, yeah, they always touch my neck. But thyroid cancer was never, ever a discussion I ever had with my gynecologist. And she honestly didn't even mention that as a possible pathway. She just said, hey, there's a lump. You need to go get it checked out. And that was actually probably the longest, most strenuous part of my medical journey because the gynecologist who told me that I had this lump that I needed to investigate couldn't actually do anything about it. It was so crazy. It took me 6 whole weeks to get an appointment to even get that looked at. And they told me, you should get an ultrasound on this, but she couldn't give me that ultrasound, which was so shocking to me because I'm like, you guys are the ultrasound people. What do you mean? And honestly, because they were so casual about it, because I'm young and I'm healthy, I don't really like. I don't go out and party a ton. I eat pretty healthy. I exercise a lot. I do a lot of these like adventures where I'm just outdoors. I'm not in these elements. So I'm like, I honestly thought I was being a hypochondriac. And that's what I think about the most before I actually got diagnosed. And I think in my gut, I don't know why there was something telling me something was wrong. And after I was told I had this lump on my neck, I could actually feel lumps farther up my neck and all the way underneath my chin, essentially on both sides of my neck, I could feel solid lumps. And that's when I started to realize, like, I don't think I'm overthinking this, which a lot of people really did tell me that I was. And I was like, I really need to check this out because this is not normal. I don't feel sick. It's not like when you have swollen, like, lymph nodes from maybe you have strep throat or allergies or cold, because there's so many reasons you could have that. And then I realized I need to check this out. And I'll never forget the actual diagnosis, which was when I finally got my ultrasound after I had literally gone to the doctor, been turned away. They were like, you can't get this ultrasound, even though you got the appointment, you need a prescription. The doctor who told me I needed it couldn't give me the prescription. It was like this whole circus of just trying to figure out how to get this appointment. But I finally got paperwork from the ultrasound that ultimately is what led me to understand that I had pretty severe advanced case of papillary thyroid cancer. And I knew it because I read the sheet and it said most likely metastasized, like metastatic papillary thyroid cancer, which is when you know that it's spread beyond the main location that it starts. So I think that's where it really was more of a shock and aggressive in this weird emotional journey of like, I'm being paranoid. I don't need to worry about this. What am I doing? I'm fine. Because this is a relatively asymptomatic cancer. And then finding out, like, so surreal you have it to immediately jumping into action, which is just mainly how I moved through the world. I was like, I have it. I sat with it. I cried a lot for like a day. I just cried for a whole day. And then I'm like, what can I do? Like, I need to get on this now. And it just kind of a kind of surreal dream from there because it moved truly very fast.
That that sounds so scary. I'm sure you were, inside yourself, you were just so scared because, I think anyone that hears the word, the big C word, is, your life kind of flashes before your eyes because you don't know what's ahead. And that's the worst feeling in the world, I think, is not knowing what is in store. We all don't know what's in store in our future, but, it's like it's like you know the first thing that happens, I think, for a lot of people is that they get so scared because the what if, the what if, the what if. Did you get the what ifs? Because we also have people that say, I'm going to beat this right away, and they don't let any negativity, any thoughts get into their way. And I've known so many women, especially in the breast cancer community, they're like, I'm going to beat this. This is not going to beat me. And they with that mentality, they just manifest positive energy. They get through it. They overcome it. It go, you know, and they move on with their lives, you know. And you know, how did you feel yourself?
Yeah, I think honestly, a lot of the scary decisions I was making on my own in those 3 years where I was exploring and finding kind of a new way of living, of saying I don't have to be in this one location in my life and traveling around and trying things alone that scared me. Like living in a van life by myself was actually quite intimidating. There's of course days that I would pull up to a campsite and be like, is this safe for me to be at alone as a woman? What am I doing today? There was actually one time I pulled up to a campsite and I did this thing where when you're traveling on the road, you can actually do what's called boondocking, where you don't stop at a campsite. There's people who will like rent out their farm or their home or their like winery or brewery that you can stay at, which I loved. And I pulled up to one of these spaces and I had a gentleman fully pull out like a shotgun on me and walk up to my door and be like, are you lost, little lady? And I'm like, I am. I'm just trying to find this farm. He's like, oh, it's my neighbor's next door. So like, that's just a simple antidote, but I think that I had done enough that had scared me in life that I felt confident that I know that I can handle hard stuff. And I think my immediate reaction, there was a sadness and a fear, but fear kind of kickstarts me and moves me into motion, like you're talking about, of it gives you purpose to move forward, of saying, I know that there's a task to be handled. So I think if there was any emotion I felt the most, it was probably anger, of just trying to understand why. And also there's a level of, even at my diagnosis, even before my treatment, of almost like this level of weird survivor's guilt that I had pretty immediately, because I have like the quote unquote like good cancer, which is a very difficult term to wrap your my it was difficult for me to wrap my brain around, of like, what does that mean to have good cancer? It's all not great. But truly, I think I look back now and learning to manage just the why of everything has been the most challenging emotion to deal with. And actually just dealing with the ongoing components of cancer and saying like, let's make sure that I'm still like living my life with purpose, which is why I'm doing my row now. But I also like, I can't say that I'm going to be cured or in remission for at least like 2+ years, just based on the nature of how difficult it is for them to identify as the cancer still there, because it's on a micro, it's on a cellular level. And so like, I think dealing with that and saying now we're in this stage of what if, when you ask that what if question, is before you're like, I know exactly what to do. I know I had to get surgery. I know I had to find a surgeon. I know I had to do radiation treatment. It was very clear. And I stopped my work and I just treated this like a full-time job. Of the doctors told me it would take up to 6 months to almost a year for me to get treatment. And I got treatment within 3 months. I got all of my treatments completed, which is very rare for a lot of patients. And I have a lot of empathy for patients that have cancers, that's one of the reasons I know it's a good cancer, because I wasn't feeling sick. And I'm also very fortunate that I had great healthcare. I had great people around me to take care of me. I had a really excellent like education growing up, which I do feel was a huge part. Like I don't know how some people handle some of their cancers, because had I not had some of the education I had, I don't think I would have like understood all of the stuff that was happening to me. And it's a lot of fear, I think, comes from having to put your life into other people's hands. And this is the first time I've ever really done that. I think anytime I'd taken risks in the past, it was me choosing to make that risk for myself. And now I'm going through this thing where it's like, I have no choice in the matter. This is like completely on these other people. So it was really just managing all of those feelings in that like what if scenario.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. When you started your adventures, you said you started early on. What motivated you to want to do all these types of adventures and go on all these journeys? And what was your motivation behind it?
I think at first I really just realized there was so much opportunity with people becoming so remote and working. And I was a digital nomad myself. And having this like outdoorsy, adventurous side of myself, and really as well, wanting to find the courage to try things by myself. And remembering that it's okay to like suck at things again was something that was important to me because I think we forget that like when we're kids, we're so comfortable trying new things because nobody's good at anything. So everyone just like there's no inhibitions. And I wanted to find that in myself again. And I try always to be like, I think this, I'm a quite bubbly, like optimistic person. And I wanted to really like dive into that part of myself. And I also didn't want to believe that there's like one way to living, especially with the remote work lifestyle. Everyone says like, you have to have this like 9 to 5, and now all of a sudden we're in a situation where everyone's like, oh, well, that's not the case anymore. I can work whatever hours make sense for me with maybe you have a family and like there's times a day you want to like be with your kids because they're at home now too. So I really wanted to give myself an opportunity to see if that was true, if there's a way to live alternatively and not put yourself in this box and say, even if I don't have all the money in the world, right? I'm not like somebody who has the maybe financial capabilities of family members who live like snowbirds, right? Like that's something really popular. I live here in Florida. Everyone is like, oh, we live up north when it's hot and we move down south. And everyone's like, you have to reach this level to get there. And I'm like, why? Like I could just live in a school bus if I want to do that. Like there's so many different ways if you're creative enough that you can find that out. And I really wanted to explore that side of myself. And it really helped empower me now to say like, hey, I was already doing all of this. It prepared me and gave me this level of like resilience before I went through my treatment. And now afterwards, I'm like, why not do all these things that I was loving and like give it my all and do it as a full-time thing. So it was very much that. And then also a little bit how I was raised. My dad is quite a thrill seeker as well. So I think I got a little bit from him as well.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, when it comes to this Rowan expedition, when is it scheduled for? When is it supposed to take place?
Yes. So it takes place in July of 2025. So, compared to like when I have my treatment, it started, my surgery was in like December. And then I had radiation treatment in February. So I wasn't really able to start like getting physical and my body had really like broken down a bit. It had atrophied. I was not able to do anything for those periods of time. Actually to the point where at one point I was my doctors, I don't think they realize like how I'm a little wild. And they just tell you casually, they're like, oh, like do what you're comfortable with. Cause some people who have this surgery, like comparatively, I had about 23 tumors, and most people have about like 2 to 5. So I had a really, really long surgery. And that's one of the reasons I had some complications. But so most people can recover within like 2 weeks. It's one of the reasons it's such a good cancer to get. And my doctors were like, yeah, just do what you feel comfortable with because people will just recover. And me being who I am, I'm like, oh, I'll just go to a spin class. And I had these like tubes hanging out of me. I'm like, oh, I'll get ready. Like maybe I'll be able to succeed. I'll get ready for my row. And then it created this whole cascade. It was a whole problem. So I was actually quite scared to like prepare again. So it hasn't been since like really right now, about like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was able to start really like getting into my exercise again and preparing. So it's a lot of training and hopefully I will be in tip-top shape for July to be ready for the row.
Now you have a GoFundMe page for people who want to donate and help you with this adventure, this expedition for cancer survivors. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. So the road to remission in general is something that not only I have pledged as a part of being a Noman campaign participant, and Noman, those are the people who put on the row from Barcelona to Ibiza. They get the boats together and they fundraise specifically for HPV related cancers. And one of the things in particular that they fundraise for is educating patients, which, as we've talked about, like that's such a huge part of treatment, is just like learning about your cancer, learning about how it's handled, all of those things. And so that meant a lot to me. And so I'm really have a GoFundMe to pledge for helping others get those resources. And then for me, I wanted to make a separate pledge for myself and give back to the thyroid cancer associations that have really been critical in my treatment experience and my education. So I have a GoFundMe. It's available on both my Instagram, my YouTube, my website at Brooks Joyrides. And we're really just trying to educate folks and help people once they've gone through those diagnoses and hopefully be aware of the diagnoses before they happen.
Now, what are some of the things that you would like to share with people who are going through cancer right now, people who have just been diagnosed? What are some words of wisdom, maybe some inspiration of hope, or just some ways that they could help themselves cope while they go through this journey of dealing with their cancer and overcoming the obstacles that they face in the future?
Yeah, I think number one is don't be afraid to be afraid. Don't feel like you're being a hypochondriac. Believe and trust yourself and be an advocate for yourself, because that is number one. Like, as I said, some of my doctors told me it would be 6 months to a year before I got treatment, and I got treatment in a month. It's truly all about like educating yourself and working the system. Two, like, don't be afraid of your anger. Let it sit with you and remind you why it's important to find other ways to be happy and healthy in your life, even if you don't feel healthy in that moment. Like one of my girlfriends, she got me a coloring book of like a swear word coloring book of just like, just let that anger out when I
I
couldn't do
love it.
anything but sit and color. And really find that joy. Like it is very difficult to do. I think about a lot like now, how fortunate I am to consider things in my future that eventually one day I'm not going to be physically capable and able to do things like my row.
Right.
And how do I find joy and fulfillment in my life? And seeing those negative experiences and taking the positives out of them and making an effort to find joy, because if you seek it, like you can find it.
Oh,
And that's
yeah.
really like what I'm advocating for now, is sharing with others on my YouTube channel and through this row, is just like, if you will it, it will be there. And the
Yes.
suffering that you have in your life is what makes the joy so much better. So like, even
Right.
with my row, it's gonna suck for sure. Like there's gonna, like when I go through and I'm rowing for seven on the 71st hour of 72 hours, I'll be like, this is brutal.
Yeah.
But then the euphoria of completing it, like there's so many ways that we can do that for ourselves. So I think it's believing yourself, making sure that you allow yourself to be upset, knowing that that's okay, and seeking that joy. And then also
Yeah.
sharing. I think sharing my story has been extremely empowering, in the resources that I found. And like, I've been able to meet you, Stacy, through that experience. I've been able to learn from others in my past who have been affected by the same exact cancer that I have, because I have a
Yeah.
specific variant of the cancer that I have.
Right.
It's very empowering to share, and it can feel quite burdensome to share with others and not want them to like feel sad or scared for you, but
Yeah.
it's ultimately gonna set you free, because the amount of resources that you'll receive by sharing far outweighs the like fear of bringing that to the world.
I think you made a really good point. And I think that's one thing people have to realize is don't be afraid to share, because so many people feel alone, especially even when they're first diagnosed. And a lot of people don't even want to share that they have it. And, even though we know millions of people out there suffer from all different types of cancers, a lot of people, they feel alone in their own world. And I feel like it's so important to get out there and have somebody to talk to, or have people to talk to, and to reach out and be able to share your emotions with somebody else who just is there to listen. What's your intake on that?
1,000%. I think once you share, you realize how many people have been affected by what you have, or other things that are similar. It's very freeing to know that people around you also really care as well. I think the outpouring of love that I've received from the sharing that I've done has been incredible.
Yeah.
And it also just gives you a platform to make it a part of your story. Because for
Yeah.
me, I'll never not be a cancer survivor. And right now, I'm an ongoing cancer patient.
Right.
And it was something I was nervous about as someone who has gone through and been an adventurer. Like that was part of what I wanted my identity to be, is like I want to be this fearless adventurer. And you can't do that without being afraid and having these hardships. And I think I was nervous when I shared my cancer story that that's maybe only what the only way people would see me. And I think people
Yeah.
need to remember like that's one of the reasons you should share. And that's one of the reasons like we talked about of trying to find the positives, because there are positives, even in something as awful as cancer, as crazy as that sounds. Like I truly have found a lot of beautiful things in my life because of it.
Right.
And if you let yourself like sit in that grief and wallow and don't pull yourself out, that is when that identity becomes who you are. So by sharing, you're almost setting that free and saying like, I have cancer, but also let me tell you all of these other things in my life.
Oh, 100%. I feel like going through things in life and experience, and everybody has something, and whether it be cancer or another illness or another condition, everybody has something in life. And I think when instead of wallowing in your pity, we should actually have gratitude and really start to be appreciative for the things that we do have. And I think that's what really changes somebody, is that when we come to situations in our life that really change our life traumatically, we realize and we start to appreciate the little things in life, because sometimes it's just the little things in life that mean so much, and we don't realize until they're almost taken away from us how much they really meant to us, or if they're taken away from us. And I think it's so important to just appreciate it. Just being able to go outside and drink a cup of tea or coffee, or smell the air, or smell the roses, or be able to see the sunshine. Sometimes we all take that for granted. And, sometimes we need to just, take a step back and be appreciative of what life is, and what life gives
Yeah.
us, and not, wallow in the things that are happening to us, but yet build resistance, build knowledge, build wisdom from it, and then, move forward in life and become the person you want to be, because I think it makes us better people in a sense too.
Yeah. And you can even find gratitude for the not as happy things, if that makes sense. Like, there's been a
Yeah.
lot of insights into my life that I would have never thought about, of like, what do I want my future to look like? How do I look at what's important to me when I start a family one day? That perspective has changed drastically
Yeah.
with this diagnosis, and thinking about like truly understanding what it would be like of like, what if I'm ill and my partner can't be there to care for my kids? Like, it's a super scary, sad thing to think about, but it's also a
Yeah.
positive thing because I wasn't thinking about it before. So even in those moments, there are opportunities for gratitude as well, as you said, and just trying to remind yourself of that, but also knowing it's okay to not feel gratitude 100% of the time. Like, I'll never forget, I was trying to get back into my physical fitness for this row, and I was doing a workout on, I have like an at-home gym machine.
Yeah.
And there's like set programs. So there's people like the kind of like the Peloton teachers where they
Yes.
have the motivational speeches. And the woman, one of the women that was leading the program, was like, just be so grateful for your body today and your gratitude for your body. And I just was sitting there, I started crying. I'm like, I don't feel gratitude for my body. Like, my body's the worst right now. I'm so mad. And honestly, it's like I'm so glad that I'm able to like sit in and feel that, 'cause that's what helps you feel the gratitude, is like
Yeah.
letting yourself be upset when you need to be upset.
Right.
Looking back, 'cause I do laugh at that now, and I genuinely think it's funny. I'm like, you know what? Like, I do have a lot to be grateful for. Just
Yeah.
let yourself feel things and don't
Yeah.
be like, I think that's something too, like there's always a shyness. Like, that's something as I've gone through and tried all these adventures, like traveling on my own, like I went to a surf camp in Portugal
Yeah.
by myself, or going to Africa by myself for riding the world's deadliest train, right? Like, there's like a shyness you have when you move through the world by yourself, where you're like,
Yeah.
oh, I need to be like quiet about these things. And that's also something that the cancer has taught me, is like, no one's looking at you that way. Like, just let yourself be you and feel and be like authentic. And if you're a loud person, be a loud person. If you're a quiet person, be a quiet person. But like, let yourself be who you are. Because people aren't looking at it in a negative way. And I think that there's been like some inhibitions that maybe I had, or a shyness that I, which I'm not a very shy person. So my shyness is quite, it's definitely lesser than most, but it's still there because everyone gets nervous. And I think this has helped me like get out of that headspace of like, what is there to be nervous about? The worst thing that could have happened to me did. Like, I might as well do what I want to do and live the
100%.
life I want to live.
That's awesome. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you really wanted to point out some important factors, what are some things you really like to emphasize to the listeners today?
Yeah, I think obviously I would love to emphasize that idea of sharing. That's a huge part of what I'm trying to do today, is share with others that cancer doesn't have to be the entire part of your identity, and that there are ways to seek and find joy in the world. So that's what I would love people to get from me. And if they're looking for resources for that, that's one of the reasons I'm starting to share those stories. Full time now. I'm doing it on a weekly basis. I have some of my first episodes coming out on YouTube this week. And it'll be weekly episodes from there, from that trip in Mauritania where I rode the world's deadliest train, to one where I super excited about in Turkey. I actually tracked down the world's only floating grocery store. It was so fun. Super excited to share that with the world. So yeah, just knowing that you can still find joy, try and do that. If you're interested in hearing about how I'm doing that, and finding ways to do that, or just knowing that, like, when people share stories like you and I are doing here, it truly is to create community. So if people have questions for me or are concerned about their health, like, please don't be afraid to like use some of those platforms I have to reach out to me. I'm happy to share my medical experience. Of course, I want people to know, like, I'm not a doctor. So take everything with a grain of salt that I share. But if you have concerns or fears, or maybe whether you're a woman going through this, because women are heavily impacted by thyroid cancer compared to men, it's like one in three comparatively. But also, maybe you're like a father and you want to educate yourself on like that's been a big thing for my dad, is thinking like what he has beat himself up. He's like, how can I look back and what could I have done better, when we were talking about maybe the food that we were eating, the medicines that you were around, or even just really truly the appointments of like, how could we have been aware of this sooner? Because truly I could have found this like a lot earlier had I known all the different blood work that could have indicated something was going on, even though everything was asymptomatic. So I think it's stuff like that, of not only can you share, find these things, but also feel free to reach out to me if you have questions about cancer, if you have questions about how to get out of your comfort zone and try new things that scare you and seek that joy. Like, please feel free to reach out to me, because that's what I'm trying to do here, is build more community of people who want that help, and to grow like that and seek that positivity.
I love that. Where can people find you?
Yes, on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok primarily. Brooks Joyrides is my channel everywhere. And you can also find me at brooksjoyrides.com. So I have a website for it as well. And if this at all has inspired you, I would really, really appreciate your donations to the GoFundMe, which you can find at all of those different places. But ultimately, just join me and maybe reach out to me, because I'd love to hear from whoever is interested.
I love it. This has been amazing, Brooke. I really hope you come back on this show. And please keep everybody up to date between Instagram, between YouTube, maybe if you have a blog on your website, keep us all updated. I'd love to know what's going on, and I'd love to see some of these adventures because they sound amazing. And I can't wait to see you when you go on your expedition when you do the rowing. That's gonna be really exciting, and you're gonna have some massive looking arms once you finish with that, for sure.
1,000%. I think Really, my abs and my legs will be. It's crazy how much like little arm strength you use in rowing. Crazy
Oh,
enough,
really?
which was a weird thing for me to learn. But 100%, and like very much looking forward to sharing with everyone. Like I'm gonna be doing lots of updates, especially even in a month from now. I'm gonna be in London, so I'm gonna share with everyone the training that they put us through because they're teaching us all about the boats, about like sea survival, all of that stuff. Because I'm like a full maritime team member now,
Oh,
which I'm
wow.
really excited about. So I will absolutely be sharing. I would love to continue and maybe come back on the show again. That would be
Yeah.
awesome. And just keep everyone updated.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much, Brooke, for being on the show. I can't wait to, start. I'm going to follow you on all your sites so I can learn and see you in your adventures. And thank you so much for sharing your story. Your story was so inspirational. So many people go through cancer and they look for people they could reach out to, and they look for just to know that they're not alone in this world, because it's such a scary thing when you go through it, when you're diagnosed, and there's so many, everyone takes it differently. It just depends on the personality. But when you know that there are other people going through it, and they're there to support you, it makes such a big difference when you know that there are people that understand what you're going through and support you, that care about you. They may not know you, but they have care for you, and it makes a world of difference. And I just sharing your story, sharing your aspiration and your love for others, I just think it's amazing what you're doing. And I think it's amazing that you've gone on all these adventures and you're doing this right now. And I just give you kudos. You're just an amazing individual, and you're just a wonderful person inside and out.
Thank you. Thank you. It was so lovely being able to use this as an opportunity and share with you and share with your audience. So I'm hoping that it resonates with some of them and that they really do reach out. Because I
Yeah.
am like very excited. Just the new people I've met along this journey has truly been a blessing. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.